Blog Talk Radio. Well, hello, everybody. It's Debbie Guy-Giesch of the Pedowitz Group, and welcome to Revenue Marketer Radio. Twice a month, we meet to talk to real revenue marketers and learn their tips and tricks on how to make that transition from being traditional marketing to revenue marketing. And everyone, it's more than just listening. This is an interactive live radio show, so please feel free to call in and chat, and we'd be happy to include you in the dialogue. Now, before I introduce my two amazing guests today, I'd like to take a moment to define that term, revenue marketing. And I will say that the very first time I started this radio show was late 2010, I believe. And I used to have to give people a really big explanation of what revenue marketing was all about in 2010. But here we sit in 2015, and I think a lot of people understand that notion of revenue marketing. But the way I define it is revenue marketing is the process of transforming marketing from a cost center to a revenue center. And what B2B marketer isn't under pressure to do exactly that? And revenue marketing, it's that discipline to help you achieve that level of financial accountability. Now, one of the things that I'm most proud of about our show is that every single person that we interview is a revenue marketer, and they are on that revenue marketing journey. And they're here to share with you what works, what does not work. Those are the fun stories. And also the gotchas, as well as those hidden roadblocks on the journey. Because as we all know, as we sit here in 2015, it's not just magic by buying a piece of technology. So I'm so pleased to introduce today's guest, Jim Kaner, who is the Chief Revenue Officer of Vox Mobile, and Mike Wilt, who's Director of Demand Generation at Vox Mobile. And again, both of these guys are very senior marketing executives with extensive experience in many areas. And Jim, in particular, I call a serial revenue marketer because Jim has a formula for how to come into an organization and build out a predictable revenue marketing machine. So, Jim and Mike, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Debbie.
Thank you.
So, let's start, Jim, by why don't you tell us a little bit about your role in the company and what you're accountable for, and then, Mike, I'd like to hear the same thing from you.
Sure, Debbie. This is Jim Kaner. My role as the Chief Revenue Officer is I oversee both pieces of the company's revenue engine, which is both the sales side and the marketing side. And our mission as in this role is to make sure not only sales is productive, but to make sure that everything that we do in marketing has an actionable payback to the company and generates revenue, which is a big change for a lot of marketing, right? We're really not the arts and crafts division. Everything that we do has to be tied back to real-time metrics that measure out in terms of dollars generated from the marketing activities that we drive.
Okay, thank you, Jim. And Mike?
Thank you, Debbie. This is Michael Wilt. I was brought on with Vox Mobile to essentially establish and implement an inbound marketing presence where we would utilize marketing automation tools to affect lead generation and ultimately revenue marketing. We are a Marketo shop here at Vox Mobile. We use that heavily along with Salesforce and other tools to bring demand generation to the door. And so that was what I was charged with from day one, was taking it out of the box, making it work, and creating programs that we are using today. And it's been a fun journey so far.
And what I love about this conversation today, in case you haven't picked up on it, we basically have a VP of sales with the head of marketing in the same room at the same time, talking about how to make this successful. And again, I think we need to be having more of those conversations between sales and marketing. So, but Jim, why don't we start with telling me a little bit about the revenue marketing journey at Vox Mobile, and then I want to get to the secret of the golden egg alert.
Okay. Thanks, Debbie. We started this journey just a little over a year and a quarter ago. I was brought on to accelerate the sales and the marketing engine here at Vox Mobile. And one of the first things that I noticed when I came in was we had disparate systems. The marketing engine, so to speak, was stuck inside of a single standalone SilverPop system that wasn't connected to the CRM. We were using the financial system for the CRM, which wasn't really friendly to the sales team. And so I had a lot of disparate technology systems that weren't really working together and playing together. And I knew that right away, siloed systems were not going to help us. We really needed to have one view of the arena. And I hired Mike and brought Mike in, and Mike had previous experience. I am going to give my Petowitz plug because I've used you so many times. We did call the Petowitz group, and Mike, with the use of the Petowitz group, we were able to stand up Salesforce.com, transition all the data from NetSuite into Salesforce, and then transition everything from SilverPop into Marketo and integrate Marketo with Salesforce. And Mike did all of this. I don't know when he slept, but he did all of this within 30 days of him being on board, and we had our systems operational and running. And that's when we really began our focused nurture campaigns on the targeted database that we actually had.
And I will say, being able to do that in 30 days is pretty incredible. And I think what it gets to is that Mike and Jim are both, they've done this for a while. They've done this before, so they understand what needs to happen. They also clearly understand that you've got to have that foundation to be successful on the journey. And, Jim, you know, what I really want to move on to next is I really want to kind of get into this challenge that many marketers experience and how to work with sales, and more specifically, how do you get sales to believe that the leads that marketing is sending to them are actually good leads? You know, we've all seen the numbers. Approximately 70% of all leads that are passed to sales from marketing never get a phone call. So what was that situation like at Vox Mobile?
Well, it's funny. You know, we've had a lot of successes over the years. This one I'm going to tell you about one of our failures and how we had to fix it. Once we got the system up and running, we started to generate golden eggs, and we started to give those to the salespeople. And on the first pass, it did not go over big. A lot of the salespeople DQ'd the golden eggs right away and said, no, this is not really viable lead. Just because they did X, Y, and Z, that doesn't really count. So,
and Jim,
Mike and
Jim,
I
what is your definition of a golden egg?
Oh, so our golden egg, we had a score attainment inside that they did enough activities, opens, views of white papers, visits to the website, and opens of emails that we sent to achieve a score of 160 points. And when we failed the first time, we were getting to 160 relatively quick. We took the feedback from the salespeople. We knocked some of the numbers that we attributed as success points, we lowered those so that it took a lot more energy for a customer to get to 160. When we got the next batch of golden eggs back in the hands of the sales reps, they just didn't get called. We ended up delivering, I had one rep in particular, we delivered 77 golden eggs, and they didn't call any of them. So
now that's really interesting because, Jim, actually the sales team reports to you.
Yeah. So I was very concerned about that. So Mike and I, we were fairly new to the culture here, and so we knew, it's just as important to sell up as it is down, and we wanted to let the CEO know what we were doing, why we were doing it, and what needed to change. So we held a meeting with the CEO, And we shared all the data that we had on, you know, here's the 77. And the CEO went through the golden eggs and said, oh, my gosh, those are all people we would want to talk to. So then we ended up holding a meeting with the sales team, the CEO, and the marketing group to talk through the importance and the relevance of the golden egg program. And it took us a while to get buy-in. And then what we found after we finally got the sales team working on it, then we started to get the usual plethora of excuses of, oh, I was on an airplane, I couldn't make that call, I was busy in front of a customer, I had to do an RFP. And so it was at that point that because we had involved the CEO and he had saw the challenges that we were up against, Mike and I came back with the proposal to go ahead and let's institute an inside sales team to call on the golden eggs and set the appointments for the outside sales team for presentation so that we would just take the golden eggs out of their hand.
And I really like that idea. You know, it's so interesting. I actually bought my first marketing automation system. I think it was in 2004. And I actually had an inside sales team, you know, doing the initial follow-up on all of those leads before they were actually passed to sales. And at the time, I didn't think it was a big deal. However, it is a very big deal because even though automation is wonderful and it can tell you many things, it can do a great job of scoring, you know, given how salespeople work and given how expensive they are and how expensive their time is, you know, really I see many, many marketers investing in this inside sales group to provide that layer of qualification, and I've seen it make huge differences in conversion rates once those leads get actually passed to sales. So, Jim, when did you guys add your inside sales team into the mix?
We started our journey about 3 months ago, and it took us. We were very, very selective on the folks that we hired for our inside sales team, and I would say that. We did not hire. There's several ways to do an inside sales team, right? You can do the low cost option where you just get smile and dialers and you give them a script. But we have a enterprise level product, so it's a very intricate solution. So we spent a little bit more money and hired a very high caliber inside salesperson that had a proven track record and that they were very smart. They could really be outside salespeople if they wanted to be. And we trained the inside sales team up that way and turned them loose. And they've been very successful at getting through to people. We actually even use them. We run an event called the Mobile Thought Leaders, where we invite companies to these like Gartner-esque style. Get-togethers, and they also do the scheduling for that. They're very proficient at reaching people. They're great at, you know, getting the gatekeeper on their side, and they're great at explaining what the value proposition is for what they're asking the individual to do and getting them to come and attend.
And so, Debbie, important to note, too, is that when we say inside sales team, it's almost a misnomer. They're very much part of the marketing team. If anything, they could be called the marketing qualification team. We've had people suggest calling them the telemarketing team. That's just too old-fashioned. We won't do that.
Yeah, their business cards actually say marketing analyst is what we have on their business cards, and we found that title allows them a lot more latitude inside the account because they're a marketing analyst, and the word sales does not appear anywhere in the title when they call in.
And Mike, thank you for that clarification, because I think a lot of folks, they still ask me, you know, Debbie, should this group report to sales or should this group report into marketing? And my feeling is, and the best experiences that I've seen, is that when this group reports into marketing, you have a much bigger effect on pipeline conversion. So so having it report into marketing seems to make a whole lot of sense. And I love the title, marketing analyst. That just makes so much sense.
Yeah, and they're by calling them initially inside sales, there was a preconceived notion when they first came on, particularly from our outside sales team, that, oh boy, now we have some sales support. They tried to turn them into sales assistants, And so we had to swoop in pretty quickly and say, no, they're going to be our marketing analysts. They're going to be qualification specialists. They're going to be the ones that hand these off to you, not search for leads for you.
I love that differentiation, and it's amazing just having a title change, how that can change people's perception around what a role is. So that's a very, very good clarification. So, Jim, I want to come back to something that you mentioned earlier. And, wow, your CEO was involved in taking a look at if these leads were qualified or not. I mean, that's not a typical type of thing to happen. So tell me about the CEO involvement in this.
Yeah, so we have a very sharp and progressive CEO. He was the founder, so he understands the business. He's taken the business from 25 people to 200, and we're growing probably about 10 people every month. So it's a very thriving business. So he's always been concerned about the sales side of the house, of always, how do we accelerate sales? He's always been involved in the sales and in the marketing side, and in the promotion of the products and our outside image. So he's a very hands-on CEO. And the thing that I find great about our CEO is his involvement is never to scrutinize and blame. It's always to come in, help us, advise us, help us see something that maybe we didn't know. And he really provides a almost a mentorship role of how to get things done better. So he's very interested in the programs. And I'll give
and
you
how
a...
Did he, yeah, how did he get involved with the Golden Eggs?
So we there's always the classic salesperson says, I'm not getting enough leads. And so he said, well, what do they mean by that? And so we went and shared all the data with him and went through the data review. And that's when he realized, oh my gosh, you're kidding. They're not calling these. Wait a minute here. We got to fix this. And he saw right away some of the accounts, and because he's been at this for 10 years, some of the accounts he saw, he said, look, I've actually called on these guys 5 years ago. I know there's a need there. And that I think really helped us out a lot, because then he understood what we were up against.
And Debbie, I wanted to mention too that when we're talking about Golden Eggs and the genesis of that program, it was something that I brought with me. And it's not necessarily unique in the field. Other companies that are listening to this today probably call them something different. But we call them basically when a lead matures to the point where they've achieved a certain lead score, an alert goes out to our salesperson, or in this case, our inside salespeople. And the email itself actually has a picture of a golden egg in it. That's why we keep referring to these as golden eggs. Now,
I love that.
The positive thing on our end, at least particularly in my world, is that this whole process, the golden egg process is what we call it, is something that Jim and our CEO, Chris, that they embraced from the beginning. There was no pushback. I mean, they really felt that this was the way that at least Vox Mobile is going to see these and interpret them. And eventually, the folks here listening today, they're going to get very sick of the egg puns. But they'll come around to seeing that this is what we see as a golden opportunity, and as part of our lead life cycle and the sales funnel, there's a point in which a lead has to stop being automated. That's where it screeches to a halt, and a live person has to put some eyes on it, and that's what the golden egg is. So when our CEO sees that golden eggs are spoiling or being ignored, that's when he chose to intervene, and it was a good thing that he did. And we have that kind of engagement from the highest levels.
Mike, I love that analogy, because, quite often what marketing says is, let's give this lead an A, B, or C, or let's give it a number of points, and then let's just send that thing over to sales. Well, that's not very exciting. What does a letter mean? What do points mean? But mm-hmm. calling it the golden egg and then actually sending them a picture of a golden egg and then having everybody understand that, there's a shelf life and this needs to be treated carefully and with intention, What a fabulous idea. I simply love that. Now, when you send them a picture of the golden egg, is it also animated so it opens up and money pops out?
Not yet. That's version two.
That's version two. I love that. And that's such a great description. And again, guys, here we have a fun way to think about marketing qualified leads, right? Something that everyone in the entire company can get behind is, what's the state of our golden eggs? I love that. I love that story, Mike.
Yeah, it really is kind of a fun analogy that we have fun with here. I mean, if marketing has a golden egg and I'm going to throw it to sales, don't drop it or else what's going to happen to your egg? It's going to break. And then we get kind of silly with it. But if we weren't silly, we wouldn't be in marketing.
And so I think in the pre-show, Jim, you were telling me about a story that happened with your CEO just this morning.
Yes. Yeah. This is very interesting. So as you can tell, we treat the golden eggs with all seriousness from the CEO on down, and we're always concerned. So one of the things that we did is we just hired on another four salespeople, and so obviously we got to get those people engaged right away. We're pushing some of the newer stuff to them as we qualify it from inside sales, but we just didn't want them sitting there waiting. And so one of the things that we did, we decided to go back through last year's golden eggs that didn't get the right follow-up on them. And so to follow Mike's thought, we recycled some of the stale eggs that were from last year, and we literally manually went through the list and weeded out the chafe and found about 8 golden eggs per rep that we could recycle back to them and say, here, you're sitting there waiting for something to do. Contact these 8 people. They've attained this score. They've still been nurtured since last year.
They were still engaging with your content that marketing was sharing with them.
Correct.
Okay.
Correct. And I got back an email this morning from one of the sales reps, and it said, I've looked at every one of these. Not a single one gives me any reason to think there's anything here. I spoke with Mike Wilt on several of them specifically. How do you want me to handle these? That was what the sales rep said. They basically did the Karnak thing, held the envelope up to their forehead, and guessed what was inside there. Our CEO picked up the phone, his cell phone, right in my office, and he dialed the very first one, which happened to be a mobile architect at a very large organization. And as luck would have it, he connected immediately to the person on the other end. And he didn't tell the guy that he was the CEO, but he opened up and said, hey, wanted to talk to you. I'm from Vox Mobile. I don't know if you've ever heard of us. The guy goes, oh, I know who you are. And immediately they got into a 20-minute conversation. The outcome of it was that they agreed to have another meeting with us. The guy who was the mobile architect also promised that he would bring 5 other companies to the meeting because he's got a couple other friends that are in manufacturing in the area that would love to have a sit-down discussion about how to handle and manage their fleet mobility. And you couldn't have asked for a better call. And literally this was what one of the golden eggs that the sales guy was questioning of whether or not he should pick up the phone and call.
So what did the sales rep take away from that?
The sales rep, I'm going to have a counseling session with them later. This happened this morning, so it took me till about the afternoon here to slowly wind down so that I wasn't emotional.
I can understand that. And, and I wanted to touch on one other topic, Jim, and you and I had also talked about this in the pre-show. Here you are, basically, for the company, you run both sales and marketing, and yet you still have a difficult time getting the salespeople to believe in the golden eggs that you are delivering to them. What advice would you have for the marketing team that does not have that level of influence over sales? How do they get in alignment with sales?
That is a great question, Debbie, and that is a I think that is probably the number one conundrum that marketing faces today. And I've seen it enough in my career that I always insist I'm running both pieces, or I'm not going to do the job because of that division. But I think what somebody who doesn't have both pieces, what you really need to do is you're going to have to reach across the aisle. You're going to have to sit down with that VP of sales. You're going to have to build that bridge. You may even have to make a few of these golden egg calls yourself to show that they're real. Give them to the VP so that the VP can disseminate these downstream and track them, so that you can, you know, get the VP on board. I think that, and you know, having the VP and the president on board keeps everybody honest. And I think it keeps everybody realizing that, yes, there's no guarantee that a golden egg is going to translate into immediate dollars, but it is way better than any type of cold calling. It's somebody that's already engaged, already interested in your product, and already knows who you are. So your chances of being able to get into that organization with a clear message is much higher. And I think if you've got the CEO and the VP of sales on board with that and continue to keep that open dialogue, get your metrics right so that you can measure and show the statistics, I think that's the way you have to do it if you're just running marketing alone.
Thanks, Jim. Mike, I'd like to hear your perspective on that, because as the director of demand generation, you know, not sitting at that higher level, you know, how do you have those conversations with sales?
I guess if I were to expound on what Jim was just saying here, what I would find most important is really two things. One is being consistent in your message, both internally and externally. If we're marketers, we should be able to express to our own employees, our own salespeople, the importance of what we're doing, and making that a consistent message. And secondly, the proof is in the pudding. If I'm providing leads that are good leads, they pick up on it relatively quickly. But if I'm just feeding them garbage, then they're just going to dismiss me. Coming in as a marketing individual, there are preconceived notions. If you're going to a VP of sales or even a C-level executive, they'll say, okay, what does this guy want to talk to me? Isn't he responsible for the color of the napkins at our next event, isn't this guy that worries about the color of the brochures that we're sending out? But it goes much beyond that. So getting in there early and establishing what your role is and the importance of this process, if we're talking about revenue marketing, doing that early, it's so important. Because it sets the groundwork for what you're going to build on as a marketer for hopefully years. So you've got to position yourself in that way. That's how I would expand on what Jim was just saying.
So I love you want
those people involved.
Right. I love the advice that you both gave. But Mike, I have a follow-up question for you. So
yep,
given
sure.
That's what you need to do to be an effective revenue marketer and get that alignment with sales, what do you see as the future for revenue marketing?
Well, what I'm seeing in the marketplace, and I sit on a couple boards, and I work with some venture folks, and I see a lot of the stuff going on inside of those companies. What I'm seeing is that the line between sales and marketing is really starting to blur. And I think that, you know, CEOs everywhere are starting to look at, you know, how do I quantify what I'm getting out of marketing, and how do I leverage marketing to get more sales? And I think that you're seeing, I would say, a blending of the two disciplines into one. That's kind of what I see, Mike.
And from my perspective, where I see revenue marketing going in the future is only expanding to greater and greater influence within the corporation. I mean, really, if you step back and look at where revenue marketing is It's very much still in its infancy. It's really only been around for 10 or so years. Debbie, you'll probably argue that with me. But
Is that generous?
Okay.
So that's generous.
Inbound marketing is so new. And these are things they aren't necessarily even teaching in college yet. So, but it's really, I don't want to say it's the wave of the future. That's so corny. But it is. And I really consider myself fortunate that I was able to embrace it early. My previous incarnation, before I was with Vox, we were working with a HubSpot and inbound marketing through that, and it really just opened my eyes when I could see the potential and what it actually did and what it meant to salespeople when you were feeding them this intelligence. It just opened my eyes, and it's one of those things that I've embraced wholeheartedly, and I'm running with the ball, and you're not going to be able to stop me.
I think you're right, Mike. I think it's a great day for marketers who can embrace revenue marketing.
Right.
It's a really incredible career path. Well, guys, we're out of time. I just want to thank you so much, both Jim and Mike, for being on the show. All of our listeners, you can listen to these podcasts on iTunes. You can go to the show page, Revenue Marketer Radio. And please don't miss our next show, April the 9th. We'll have Robin Caputo, who's the CMO of DataVell. And wow, does she have a story. She will share with us how she moved pipeline contribution from 25% to 75% in 18 months. Well, that's all, everybody. Thank you so much for listening today. And remember, it is a great day to be a revenue marketer.